There you are. Good morning. How you doing? You well? Am I talking to you, Jazz? Can't say a thing in this house without the Jazz running towards you. Right, it's Friday morning then. It's the 20th of September. Had a few issues with internet yesterday. Obviously, on the YouTube live stream. And then later on, it interrupted the radio show about 40 minutes in when I had Tiffany Fitzhenry on. And that's just a real pain in the backside, that. Ultimately, when you broadcast online, as I do, you are at the mercy of these things happening every now and then. It doesn't matter what equipment you have. It doesn't matter how sophisticated your operation is. And mine doesn't get any better. It's outstanding. The studio, it's as good as or better than any BBC regional studio. And I say that not in jest. It's fantastic here. But if the internet goes down, there's very little I can do about it. It doesn't happen very often. It happened yesterday and it's a pain in the arse. You spend 9-10 hours creating a radio show. That's the minimum, really. Not that it matters to you. You couldn't give a shite, I'm well aware of it. But you spend hours at it and then something like that happens and it goes down. And then one or two idiots send you tweets about, I'm not going to get into that. So I'm in fine form. And I'm not doing this morning in lieu of what happened yesterday. I'm doing it because there's some interesting stuff going on, isn't there? I've not seen any of this today, this climate strike. I was in Buell Hill Park in Salford this morning. And I got there about 20 past 6, I think, 25 past 6. So I'm around the park for about an hour. So around about the time I leave the park is when I see school children. Because Buell Hill Park is surrounded by several schools. Secondary schools and primary schools, and the schools were, well, they seem to be operating as normal. So maybe Salford's children didn't get the message from Greta that they needed to abandon their schools and take to the streets to demand action on climate change. Maybe it didn't reach Salford, maybe, I don't know. But anyway, get into that in a minute because it's very interesting. Hi to you, by the way, and thanks for coming on this morning. Hi to SW. SW, how you doing? Hi to Spotless Leopard. Yeah. I'm not going to get into it. Hi to Philip Blair. Hi to Andy Jerry. To Dean Thornby. To Stephen O'Neill. How you doing, Stephen? To Bex. To Thugspiracy. Jason. Martin Ellen. Ella Smith in Birmingham. How you doing, Ella? It's sunny in Birmingham this morning. It's nice here too. Hi to Daz, hi to Gail, hi to Dick, Wendy Savage, Sir Hubert, Tommy Temple One, Jim Bob, Matthew, Paul, Kelly Reed and Paisley. How you doing, Stuart Batty? How you doing, Ian? How you doing, Mel Gallagher? Liam's new album was reviewed in the Times today. They gave it 4 stars out of 5. You couldn't pay me to listen to it. Hi to Kundalini. Hi to Daz. To Mercy and Golden Age. To Dawn Alexander. Dawn's tuning into this live for the first time. Don't confuse this with the radio show, Dawn. This is She-ite. The radio show is a professionally produced radio show. Regardless of whether the internet knocks us off or not, it is the radio show. Hi to Sean Inchcliffe. Cliff Moore. How you doing, Cliff? Cliff's going to the bigger picture in Saffron Walden in Essex to hear Mark Windows, Sandy Adams and Piers Corbyn. Good stuff. I have a lot of time for those three. Great time to be listening to Piers, Mark and Sandy, I think. Hi to Martin, to Crypto Fudge, to Carol Simpson, to Joshua Herrera. Buenos dias, amigo. Etic Boxing, Infinity 120609. Mel says, my dad always used to correct it from Gallagher to Gallagher. Exactly. Because Gallagher is Irish. No more of that old Gallagher shite in Manchester. Been to the barber's yesterday. Spent 3 hours in the chair getting groomed, as you can see. 25 quid, top of the line haircut, as you can see. All right, the future Mrs. Allen did it. Fair enough. Right. Let's have a look at the papers before we get into Greta and the cult of environmental disaster prophecy. Because it is a cult. Here's the Telegraph. Juncker offers hope of deal by October 31st. Jean-Claude Juncker, European Commission President, has said he's optimistic. He's optimistic that there might well be a deal before October 31st. Johnson, as in Boris Johnson, will meet with all of these people again at a United Nations gathering next week. And there, apparently, more progress will be made. It's inside the Telegraph. Do you want to see it? Do you want to see it? Here it is. There they are, meeting in Luxembourg the other day. Juncker offers hope of Brexit deal by October 31st after talks with Boris Johnson, is the story. There it is. Growing signs that the details of a deal could be hammered out when the Prime Minister meets EU leaders at the General Assembly in New York next week, which will be attended by Arlene Foster. Arlene Foster. No surrender. Arlene Foster. So there you are. We'll never leave the European Union with a clean break. I told you a million times. It's bearing out now, isn't it? Any deal that is struck with the European Union would not be leaving the European Union, as we well know. So that's the Telegraph. Then I'll not bore the piss out of you with Brexit talk today. Not much of it anyway. Palace anger mounts as Cameron spills secrets. David Cameron, in his memoirs, has been sharing a bit too much about the time that he spent over the years at Buckingham Palace. One of the lovely anecdotes that David Cameron has deigned to share with us is having a chat with the Queen, in which the Queen said to the pig poker, the Queen said, I used to drive the Saudi Arabian king around the grounds at breakneck speed in my car. I was the only woman that ever shared a car with him, and I used to drive him very fast, said the Queen. The palace is not amused. I mean, the Queen is a proper stunt, isn't she? Entertaining people like him. Hi to Graham Booth from triggerwarning.tv. I don't know why Graham supports this programme. There's no need for it. He does enough for us, does Graham. Thank you, Graham. Triggerwarning.tv, youtube.com/triggerwarning. And thanks to Craig Storer. Thanks, Craig, for your super chat donation. And thanks for caring, mate. I really appreciate that. Graham, we're all meeting up on November 3rd, aren't we? Tickets are available Saturday night. Put a message on there, Graham, about the Trigger Warning extravaganza in Manchester that I've been invited to attend, where I'm going to be grilled by Graham Paxman Booth about socialism and other things. Good stuff. Very good stuff on youtube.com/triggerwarning. Remind us, Graham, November 3rd, where do people get tickets? Triggerwarning.tv if they want to come along. Hi to Dermot McCauley in Belfast. Hi to Tuha De Danann in Limnock, Conestity. Diagwit Tuha. Stuart has the same sexy hairstyle as me. Hey, yeah, because if I wanted to, I could have it all coming down to here. It's my choice. You big, ignorant, baldy, gammon bollocks. That's me. Marvellous. Hi to Matt in Western Massachusetts. Jim Bob Jr. I mentioned Jim Bob. Chris Morell. Hi to Dawn. How you doing, Dawn? Patricia Actis. How you doing, Patricia? I might miss Graham's message, so look at the live chat for details. And thanks to Jazz Waz for the contribution. Thanks, Jazz Waz, for the super chat donation. I really appreciate that. It's made my morning. Thank you. School gives comedy class to serious girls. Woohoo! Yeah, they're going to give comedy lessons, aren't they, to schoolgirls. Stand-up comedy lessons. To give them the courage to ask for pay rises in the future. Girls' school runs stand-up comedy classes for pupils so that those girl pupils will have the courage to ask for pay rises in the future. How does that work? So you walk into your boss's office and you ask he or she for a pay rise, but before you do, you crack them up. You tell them a few gags and you have them rolling around the ground, rolling on the floor laughing, rufflecopter, rufflecopter, and then you go, give the pay rise. And they're just bent over and they can't say no. So they say, yeah, just get out of the office, you're killing me. You're killing me, Richie. Give me a pay rise. Yes, get out. Granted. That's in the Telegraph. Lovely. Look at the evil bastard queen. Look, when is the queen not looking like an evil bastard, huh? Yeah, I drive the Saudi king around the grounds of Sandringham and Buckingham Palace at breakneck speed. Yeah. He fucking has people's heads chopped off in football stadiums for no fucking reason. But you wine and dine him and drive him around the grounds in your car, do you? You crazy bitch. I wouldn't mind if he gave the keys to Philip and got Philip to drive him around at breakneck speed. Your daft fucking Nazi husband. Philip, huh? He's still driving Philip, huh? Drives onto a main road from a side road. Just drives on. Nearly kills a woman stone dead and doesn't have the manners to go and visit her in hospital. The evilest. The evilest people on planet Earth, these people. Look at Gene Hinchcliffe up there, look. This was taken in Sydney this morning. Ah! We're all going to die! Yeah. We'll come back to that in a minute. What's in the Guardian? What's in the eye paper? Oh, Christ. Queen's fury at Cameron. Fucking Cameron. Yeah. Holy Jesus. What's in the Guardian? I can't recall how often I blacked up, says Trudeau. I have a couple of sexual fetishes. I've mentioned them before. Maybe not on the Richie Allen radio show, but I used to do an adult show in Spain with two doctors. It was a men's health show which went on very late in the night. I did it with two crazy doctors in Spain called Dr. Raymond Prats, who was an ophthalmologist, and Dr. Carlos Diawana, who was an oncologist who dealt in the prostate. And he was very keen to give me a prostate exam, was Dr. Carlos Diawana. He never failed to rock up to Talk Radio Europe studios with a pair of rubber gloves. And he's like, get your fucking fingers away from my rectum, Carlos. He was mad for it. Bend over, Richie. And if you can feel both of my hands on your shoulders, you're in trouble, son. He used to say that. So I used to do these adult male shows about male issues. And we used to talk about sex. We used to talk about sex, baby. And they put it up to me one night, the two lads, because I used to give them dogs abuse. Because you know what I'm like. I would take the piss out of them. And they were fairly straight guys, but they had a good sense of humour. And I would wind them up. And they said to me, you must have fetishes, Richie. You must have Rich. Don't lie, Rich. Be honest. And I said, well, I have a couple. Mine are boring, though. I'd love to have, like, what was that film that David Cronenberg made where people fetishized amputees? I'd love that to be my fetish. I'd love to be walking down the street and some woman walks past me on crutches with no leg below her left knee and I'm like, swing. I'd love to have that fetish, right? My fetishes are boring as arseholes. I've always loved, when I was a kid, I was into, and I'm talking very young now, I was very, very much turned on by Diana Rigg in The Avengers. The leather catsuit and the boots, the knee-high stiletto boots. I love knee-high stiletto boots. I love them. That's one of my little fetishes. Yeah. But anyway, he must have had a fetish for blacking up, Justin Trudeau. He just loved blacking up. Many times did he black up before he hopped into the sack with whomever he was hopping into the sack with? I bet you Jeffrey Epstein knows or knew, but he can't tell us anymore now. Yeah. I am a sexual deviant. Yeah, Diana Rigg in The Avengers. Yeah. Little bit submissive that, isn't it? I used to see Diana Rigg kicking nine kinds of horses shite out of the bad guys. I used to be aroused. As a young boy, like 9, 10 years of age. So I always liked the old boots, you know. Yeah. The future Mrs. Allen goes to work and she's an accountant, and she will, in the winter, she will wear a smart suit with a skirt that is an appropriate length, and sometimes she will pair it with an old pair of knee-high boots. And it's difficult for me to allow her out the front door, if you catch my drift, children. Ah, oh, be Jesus, huh? It's fucking rubbish, this, isn't it? I told you, I keep telling you, and you keep coming back. It is crap, this. It makes a mockery of the radio show, which is the best in the world. I am the best radio presenter in the world. And this is crap. This is almost like charity, this. What's in the Financial Times? Knee-high boots. Oh. No knee-high boots on the front page of the Financial Times, sadly. Saudi Arabian bullies wealthy families to pump cash into oil IPO. Couldn't give a shite, to be honest. Don't live in Saudi Arabia, then you won't get bullied by those fucking lunatics. The Metro, racists hunt migrants on our beaches. Britain's first. And there's not many of these dickheads now. There's not many of them. Britain's first are down in Dover. With binoculars. Wearing these stupid fucking t-shirts. And they've got these fatigues on. And they've got these army trousers on. And they're standing there on the beaches. They're like Jon Snow on the Night's Watch. They're like fucking migrants. Fucking immigrants. It's lunacy. And Paul Golding, who used to be the leader of these fucking morons, these lunatic morons, Golding is out of prison now, and he was standing alongside them wearing a three-piece suit. Ah! Oh, God. No, I'm not going to label them racist or anything else. I don't put people into little boxes. I understand why these people think as they do. They're just barking up the wrong tree, as it were. Daily Express, far-right threat to kill Chief Constable. Presumably a threat to kill a chief constable has been uncovered. That's good. That is good. The Mirror. Cheating Premier League star leapt from hotel in pants. Oh, Christ almighty. Reminds me of a story years ago. I used to live on O'Brien Street in Waterford. This is absolutely true. As true as you are there and I am here. We lived on O'Brien Street in Waterford, Caroline and myself. And one morning, Caroline... Now, Caroline is one lazy bitch, Caroline is. If weekends, you can't drag Caroline out of bed before 11 o'clock. But one particular Saturday morning, Caroline is downstairs. She got up to get some water. It must be 7:30 in the morning, 8 o'clock in the morning. She's screaming, "Ah! Ah, there's somebody in the back garden." So I came down anyway. I must have been a sight to behold. Underpants, beer belly hanging out. I used to have a beer belly then. 4 days beard growth, wild-eyed like this. And I went out to... I ran out into the back garden to see who it was. And there was a guy lying on the ground. And he had a compound fracture on one of his legs. The bone was sticking out of it. This is true. His name was Ray. And I thought Ray was a burglar, but Ray wasn't a burglar. Ray was having it off with the woman next door when her husband came back from the night shift. And he jumped out of the bedroom window, bounced off the fucking wall that separate the houses, and then fell into the garden. And he was in shock. He wasn't in that much pain at that particular point in time. But the pain followed pretty soon, believe me. And he's lying there on the ground, bones sticking out of his leg, blood everywhere. And he's like this to me. Shh. Shh. What the fuck? And I'm like, what the fuck? And he says, "I jumped out a window upstairs." Ah, you were having it off with the... With the village bike where you ran next door to me. True story that. Caroline often brings it up at dinner parties. A guy is lying in your back garden with a compound fracture of his leg and he's like this. Shh. Only in Ireland. Oh, Christ. Michael O'Leary is getting 87 million quid, is he? Lovely. The Sun. Yeah, some guy faked a lottery ticket. Managed to get away with a couple of million. And then was caught. There you are, in the Sun. Important that you know that. With everything else that's going on, you know? You know? Let me read a few... comments. And then we'll look at one or two videos, children. We'll look at one or two videos. By the way, I'd love to tell you what's going to happen next year, but I'm going to take the radio show on the road next year, but it won't be the radio show. I'm going out next year. I'm talking to a promoter, and I'm going to be doing a show in a couple of theatres, and it is going to happen next year, and it's going to be very original, and I think you're going to like it, and it's going to be affordable as well. You're not going to be paying a fortune to get into it. A couple of quid, really, to cover the costs of venues and stuff. But I'll tell you more about that as we go along. I'm looking forward to that. It'll be a night that you'll never forget, I guarantee you, as long as you live. Right. Let me say hi to John Parsons. How you doing, John? How you doing, Natalie Stacey? Hi to Charlotte Binns, to Maureen McAleer. Lovely stuff. Jim Bob. You found that story about old Ray funny, did you? Old Ray. God love him. Yeah. Marvellous. Hi to Jane Brooks. Am I missing anybody? Graham Booz also likes a nice pair of boots. You see, Graham is far from boring. Far from boring is Graham Booz. Very lively show Graham puts on. But it's a boring fetish, isn't it? Boots. I love boots, though. Yeah. Can't stand those platform ones, though, with a big chunky heel. It's got to have a narrow heel, you know. It's got to spell danger, basically. Danger, yeah. Kinky Boot says, Don Alexander, love that, love that. Yeah. That reminds me. I saw some mad shit over the years. I was in Berlin once, and I went into a sex show. I didn't care. I was young. And there was a trample fetish guy on stage, and there was women jumping up and down on him wearing cowboy boots to the tune of, "These boots are made for walking," while the crowd were cheering them on. Brilliant stuff. Brilliant. I was, well, enjoying it. Let's put it that way. Right. Right. Let's move on. Let's move on. See, Gillian says, hi to Joe Dinigan. That's a great name, Dinigan. Got to be a detective there. Got to be a detective in New York somewhere. Third generation, Dinigan. Your ego's writing checks your body can't cash, Dinigan. That sort of name, Dinigan. Yeah, it's got to have something that can form a pin at the bottom. Something that could put a hole in you. Yes. Yes. You came on for the news. And you got a smutty sex show today. Good. Let's watch a video while we calm down and while I go to the bathroom. Marvellous. Let's watch this report from Sydney. About climate protests today. The strike that we're not on. Why aren't you on strike, by the way? Why are you watching this? Why are you not down the fucking town centre demanding action on climate change? Here's a report from Sydney. Watch it. We'll come back afterwards.
It's been brought to a standstill today with thousands of protesters descending on the city for a major climate change rally. There were similar gatherings around the country as huge crowds swarmed the streets demanding action. Alex Hart was there.
Marching right outside New South Wales Parliament, it will be impossible for politicians not to hear this message today. Tens of thousands of people have turned out in the Domain first for a series of speeches and performances, then filling the streets and bringing the city to a standstill as they march to Hyde Park.
We wouldn't be on the streets striking from school on a Friday if you did your job. We've been forced into this and you need to take meaningful
Look
climate
at that
action.
Nutter.
The message today is not just about highlighting the need for climate action, but also inaction from our politicians. There are three key demands. No new fossil fuel projects, 100% renewable energy by 2030, and more funding to transition people out of fossil fuel dependent jobs.
I think it's really important for the younger generation to really stand up and tell the politicians we won't be silenced.
I think there is a massive sentiment among the people in my generation that there is no other choice but to strike because the government doesn't listen to us.
There have been events like this held right across Australia in more than 100 cities and towns, hundreds of thousands of people taking part. And
right, you get it, right? That's her there in the top left-hand corner of the screen, Jean Hinchcliffe. You heard it there. Brendan O'Neill spiked online. What do we think of Brendan O'Neill? He's got some interesting things to say sometimes. He's a conservative writer. Spiked is a conservative thing, right? Website. E-zine. We don't say e-zine anymore. He said on Sky News this morning that this is a cult, he said. And he said it's a terrible thing that adults, through schooling predominantly, have scared the absolute bejesus out of youngsters. Because it's genuine, a lot of this. The hysteria from the likes of Jean Hinchcliffe, motivated by Greta Thunberg, is genuine. Don't beat up the children, and of course I mean metaphorically, don't metaphorically beat them up, don't beat them up full stop, for behaving the way they're behaving. They have been induced. They have been brainwashed into believing that some apocalyptic tidal wave, again, metaphorical tidal wave, is going to come and wipe us all out very, very soon. And Brendan O'Neill was on Sky News this morning with somebody from Extinction Rebellion. And to be fair, he wiped the floor with the Extinction Rebellion woman. Not a child, it was a woman who was a reverend of some sorts. She looked a bit weird, the reverend. She had a sleeveless shirt on, she had the collar. And he's in the past said that this is becoming a religious cult. And it's a cult that's become obsessed with the sinful behaviour of mankind. And that has to be punished. Not just stopped, it has to be punished. And it's the end of the world. And they're making messiahs of people like Greta Thunberg and Jean Hinchcliffe. And Jean Hinchcliffe was earlier addressing people in Sydney on a stage with thousands of people in front of her. Thousands. And it's very, very spooky. And one of the things that's absent, and I want to show you a few screen grabs now. Of course, one of the things that's absent from any of this, and it's partly because it's children that we're talking about, is there is no questioning of it. Not even gentle probing, gentle prodding, questioning, none whatsoever. The media, or the news media, has kind of collectively accepted that this is all very real and there's no need to ask any of the participants to explain why it is they feel like they feel outside of a few rehearsed soundbites. Because everybody speaks in soundbites. Jean Hinchcliffe will scream that we're all going to die. Destroying the planet. It's our time now. These are all slogans. Sloganeering, I call it. I didn't invent the term sloganeering. It's been around for probably centuries. But it's sloganeering. Nobody's going to say to Jean Hinchcliffe, what's happening? What's really happening? Tell us a little bit about the science, Jean. Because she won't know. And they're being conditioned, that age group, also, through social media addiction, through identity politics, to believe that they are infallible. If they believe something, if they emote it, if it vomits forth from their mouths, it has to be absolutely true. And there is no room for any dissent. There is no room for anybody in your world who disagrees with that. And the media props this up, of course, by not asking anybody any questions. How did you get into this, Jean? Who told you the world is coming to an end? Who told you that? What did they say exactly? And O'Neill took this on this morning on Sky, saying there is no actual... Now, O'Neill does believe that CO2 is contributing to warming. O'Neill is wrong, right? But he's entitled to be wrong, as am I when I am wrong, which is often enough. So O'Neill, but at least O'Neill is saying there's no evidence that we're going to be in apocalyptic circumstances in the very near future. This is all nonsense. It's all conjecture. It's all subjective stuff that isn't backed up by the science. O'Neill is right to say that. But he's the only one. You know, they generally don't allow these people on to speak. So this is everywhere. The Guardian is covering it. So they give rolling coverages. So if you go to the Guardian newspaper now, there is rolling coverage of this. Like updates all the time. This is how they do it. You see? 53 minutes ago, 20 minutes ago. And it's full of little sound bites and little videos of the participants. Absent is any criticism of it whatsoever. None. No criticism of the behaviour of the children. No criticism of what it is the children are saying. Not even any alarm being expressed by people saying these children are very, very hysterical. They are almost frenzied. There's genuine fear here. Who's teaching our children to be terrified of fossil fuels? To be terrified of carbon dioxide? Who's putting those ideas in the minds of the children? None of that. You won't get any discussion of that. Same on the BBC. Rolling coverage everywhere today. People on BBC Radio 4, excuse me, saying the greatest threat we are facing, young people, faced by presenters who will not ask them, how do you know? They don't even ask that. How do you know? The only thing the BBC presenter will do is say, but aren't the government trying their best? That is the comeback from the establishment radio presenter. But Theresa May said we would try and reduce carbon to zero, net zero by 2050. Isn't she doing enough? And the kid goes, no, no, wah, wah, it's not enough. That's it. That is the extent of the, I won't say interrogation. Interrogation is wrong. We don't want to interrogate children. But that is the extent of the examination. Isn't the government doing its best? What about, why are you so convinced that we're all going to die? And that's no joke, by the way, me saying we're all going to die. Look at this. You'll die of old age, I'll die of climate change. This is a chant. This came from the mouth of Greta Thunberg herself. You'll die of old age, I'll die of climate change. And they believe it. They buy into it. The more I see Greta Thunberg, the more I think of this. I'm not doing this for a laugh. Look, do you remember this? I'll get bollocked for this now. This is what it is. Look at it. Slay the Nazarene. Disciple. Slay the climate deniers. Look at it. It's spooky shit, right? I'm glad it hasn't reached Salford. Look at them. Look at the expressions on the faces of the people in the audience. Unquestioning. Mind controlled. Ability to stand there and go, but this guy is fucking mad. Jesus is good. And wants us to be good to each other. This guy's mad. Gone is the ability to think like that. And it's the same with these climate cultists. It's exactly the same. Wonderful. Facts don't matter. Debate doesn't matter. Examining the science doesn't matter. Just say it loud enough. Say it long enough. Get the children brainwashed. I mean, parents must be terrified at the change in their children. The ones who have been affected by this. There's a bunch of them taking the United States government to court over climate change. Right? It's mad stuff, right? Mad stuff. You'll die of old age, I'll die of climate change. But you won't. The climates have been changing for millennia. It actually was warmer once on planet Earth. Much warmer. In fact, several times. We know through geological study, we know through carbon dating, we know through ice cores, we know that at times it has been unbearably warm on this planet. I'm not going to get into the Yorkshire grapes and the vines and all that. It's true. Cyclical. The sun controls climate on planet Earth. Man is doing nefarious things with machinery that the public are not aware of. Weather modification, undoubtedly, I have no doubt that is true. But CO2 emitted by man through man's activities in factories is not irreparably damaging planet Earth. Pollution is, that's a different matter entirely. And what you'll see a lot today is the juxtaposition of pollution and climate change, which is wrong, and the media should stop it. Stop it the minute it comes up. The minute they talk about plastic in the oceans and all this nonsense, stop it right there. It's got nothing to do with it. It's a very serious issue. But it's got nothing to do with it. These are mad times. That was from the Omen 3, The Final Conflict. And I wasn't trying to get a laugh there. That's what it looks like to me. Those people in that audience, on that rock, looking at him. That's what's happening to people all over the world. And it's not just on the climate change issue. You know? That's Trump's supporters, that, right there, at the rallies. Right? Yes. You're amazing. Why don't you smack yourself in the face 500 times and start to think for yourself? Madness, folks. Madness, you know? Brendan O'Neill is right. It's a cult. It's a doomsday cult. When we used to laugh at doomsday cults, didn't we? Didn't we? We'd hear on the news that some Egypt emerged from a hole that he dug in a cave, and he took his wife down there and his children, and then came up rather sheepishly. All right, so the world didn't end on the 26th of October 1997. We used to laugh at that. Not this, though. This is promoted by the media, even though it's not going to happen. What will they do when it doesn't happen? What will they do when the mean temperature doesn't rise in the way they have claimed it will rise? What are they going to do? Nothing, because facts are irrelevant. Feelings trump facts. It won't matter when this doesn't happen. They'll keep warning about it anyway, as they change fundamentally human existence on planet Earth through more and more draconian zoning laws and domestic laws. You can do this, you can do that, you can't do that. And people will go, yeah, okay. Yeah, I know you're doing it to protect us from ourselves. Amazing. They give space in newspapers to people like Caroline Lucas, a complete and utter fucking moron who leads the Green Party. Again, no questioning of it. Lucas gets to write in The Guardian a pile of horse manure. None of it real. No challenge to it. A politician. Huh? Was there ever a time when we challenged politicians? No, just give them newspaper columns. Give them radio shows now. Farage, Jacob Rees-Mogg, give them radio shows. You know, I'd love you to be in my skin just for 10 minutes so you'd understand what I think, what I really think. Because I've seen this at every level. As a journalist, as a content creator, a producer, presenter, I wish you could just get a sense of what I feel about this. This is madness. Madness. Not only are they not challenging politicians anymore about any issue, they're giving them their own radio programs. Christ. Staggers me. Staggers me. What else have we got for you today? This is just brilliant, isn't it? British rapper Slow Thigh holds up an effigy of the severed head of Boris Johnson and shouts, "Fuck the Prime Minister," in a stunt at the Mercury Music Awards. Now, I'm no Mary Whitehouse, right? And I do believe in free speech and free expression, but that's not nice, is it? I'm not going to condemn the guy, I'd be a hypocrite. I've got a very big mouth and I've said things over the years, but wow, like, you know. Was it staged? Was it spontaneous? Well, it wasn't spontaneous, obviously. Nothing Great About Britain is his album, Slow Thigh. I think there's a video of it. Do you want the video? It's not great. It's just the BBC cutting them off. You stop it before I finish. On my arm and I scream out, wow, nicotine. Can't quit. Two's up, two's down. You stop it pretty before busy, I finish. On my arm and I scream out, there's the head. Wow. And the BBC cuts in.
Slow Tie with his own views there. That was Slow Tie.
Yeah. Dave won the main Mercury Prize. Dave is a rapper too, a grime star. Grime? Is that what it's called? I'm not down with the kids, you see. Dave. And Dave paid tribute to his brother Christopher from the stage. Christopher is in prison for knifing somebody to death. He's in prison for life. Fuck the family of the victim watching. Maybe watching on. Pay a tribute to my brother Dave, was in prison. Yeah, for knifing somebody to death. Yeah, lovely fella. Yeah. Lovely. But when you're a progressive, you can't say anything about that. You've got to applaud Dave. Dave brought his mom on stage and she cheered him on too. Yeah. How's Christopher doing? Your son that murdered a guy, stabbed him to death. He's in prison. Ah, okay. Lovely. Dave didn't do it. His mother didn't do it. But take the motherfucking award and get off the stage. Don't be paying tribute to your murdering bastard of a brother. Don't be doing that. The Mercury Awards, yeah. Progressive heaven. What else have we got for you this morning before I part company with you? And we're still streaming. Isn't that amazing? Amazing, no, no. We're still streaming, oh, be Jesus. What have we got? What have we got? Depression pill taken by millions barely works, scientists find. It's called sertraline, but it's known by its generic names Lustral and Zoloft. It takes up to 3 months to ease low mood. 3 months. Fucking hell. But it relieves anxiety in a month and a half. But it doesn't work. Wow. There you are. Strong evidence that it tackles anxiety symptoms such as worrying. Imagine, you can be prescribed medication by your doctor for worrying. I wonder, does the doctor say, what are you worrying about? Well, I don't know if I'll make the rent this month. My sister's getting married and I've not got any money for a dress or a suit and I don't have any money for a present. And I can't afford uniforms for the kids going back to school. Those are genuine worries that people have. I know this. I live in Salford. I've lived here for nearly 4 months. I speak to people. So a doctor should say, listen, those are fucking genuine worries. Don't worry about it. Ironically. But I can't give you a tablet for that. Because those are legitimate concerns that you have. But doctors do give tablets for that. And will prescribe for Mrs. Murphy, who's worried about stuff. I know, it's a cliche. Lunatic a fucking asylum. It is a lunatic asylum we inhabit. Worrying. You're worrying a bit, aren't you? What are you worried about? I owe money to a debt collector. To a money lender. Why did you borrow from a money lender? I have no fucking money and I couldn't pay me rent. And you're worried, yeah, because he said he's going to beat me up if I don't give him the money. Right. Have some sertraline. Yeah, but he's still going to come and kick fucking bells out of me if I don't give him the money. Yeah, but take some sertraline. I'll give you a Valium too. You won't feel the kicks so much, maybe. Lunatic asylum we live in, folks. Keep telling you. It is insane. Holy Jesus, huh? Don't have any money for parking. Got no coins on you. You don't use one of those stupid parking apps. Don't worry. Coming soon to a car park near you. Pray for car parking time. An Italian priest will attract more people to church by offering motorists parking spots in exchange for saying a few Hail Marys. This is true. In nomine Padre, e Vili, Spirito Santo. Amen. Say your Hail Mary. Say 30 Hail Marys and you get 3 hours of parking. Do you remember how to say the Hail Mary? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. I'd have to say that 9 more times to get an hour in the car park space there. Come and pray for a few hours. Next time I go and watch a concert at Manchester Arena, can save myself £15 in car parking charges by saying 40 Ave Marias, 40 Hail Marys with Caroline. I'll get Caroline to do 20 and I'll do 20. They'll beatify us. We will be beatified. What else have we got? Is that it? Are we done? Yeah, I've had enough, to be honest. Lovely. Jean-Ann says, that's my Jean-Ann, due to taking anti-anxiety tablets. Can't remember the name of the drug. And he was taking them because his wife was diagnosed with terminal cancer. Imagine that. That's exactly what I was talking about. Our kid, somebody's wife, was given a diagnosis of terminal cancer. It is causing obvious grief. You know, I know the wife is still alive. Pain, worry, devastation. And you get an anti-anxiety tablet instead of a doctor who in the old days would have sat with you for a bit when they had a bit of time, you know, and would have said, hey, look, there are support groups there. We'll help you. We'll do our best for your wife. And you need to be strong for your wife now. We'll help you do that. Get your family involved. Be a crutch for one another. Gather round. Okay, gather the wagons and be there for your wife. Be uplifting. Now, 5 minute time frame for the doctors at the NHS. Wife is dying of cancer and I'm feeling really down about it. Here's a prescription. It is insane. It is normalised insanity. It is fucking crazy. All right, I think you and I are done for today. I was going to run this, but...
I don't like the way you're looking.
I thought it's a bit childish. That's the caretaker this morning telling the children they're not to go to the climate change protest to see Greta and Hinchcliffe. You're going to stay there and learn. But you don't fuck with these kids. Oh, Jesus. Going to go for a nice leisurely jog now. I'm going to head for Salford Fire Station.
Yeah?
Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll take a lift. Maybe I'll run up
like all the other little Langworthy
Road. Maybe I won't. Maybe I'll head towards Eccles.
We'll do something, damn it!
Here you go. We'll go to the climate change protest if we fucking want! Don't mess with him. That's it for me then. Sorry about the interruption to Tiffany FitzHenry yesterday. And the radio show does happen every now and then. Thanks for watching this crap this morning. Really appreciate it. It's nice to have a few laughs, isn't it? Nice to have a few laughs. I'll show this to Caroline later on because the story of old Ray jumping into the back garden. Caroline often mentions that. Great story, that. He went on to be all right, although he'll have a limp for the rest of his life. But that's what you get for shagging other men's women. That's what you get for mowing another guy's lawn. And when he comes home and catches you in the act. Right. Lovely. Have a fantastic weekend. I'll speak to you on Sunday View at 11 o'clock on the radio at 11 o'clock Sunday morning. Until then, we will go out with Jean. God love the children. God love them. Won't somebody please think of the children? Check out Trigger Warning on YouTube, youtube.com/triggerwarning for Graham Booth and Hayden Hewitt. I think Graham might have put up a link to tickets to the extravaganza on November 3rd. I'll talk to you real soon. Bye for now. Bye now.